Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. What an interesting week it has been. And here we are this morning in the middle of this ice storm and this big event that's taking place throughout the United States. I'm so sorry that we couldn't be together at church this morning, but I am so glad that we have this venue that we can gather together on Facebook Live and experience a few minutes at least together of just gathering around God's Word and seeing what He would have for us today. So thank you for tuning in. And if this is something that you feel like somebody would like to experience as well, maybe real quick, text them and say, hey, jump on board. Pastor Brian's doing a broadcast here, and let's have church together. Can we pray together right now as we begin? Father, I thank you so much for this time together. I pray, Father, that you would be with us by your Holy Spirit and that you would open up our hearts to receive a word from you. I thank you, God, for the technology that gives us the opportunity to come together in our homes and the safety of our homes today, and that we can be the body of Christ here today. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you into this short devotional and that you'd speak to our hearts. And we love you and thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Hey, so as I'm looking at this storm that's swept through, the United States this week, and it's upon us today. I got to tell you something. I don't know if you know this about me, but I love meteorology. Weather has always fascinated me. I can sit outside and look at a thunderstorm, or I don't know, the clouds, the different colors of clouds in the sky, and this, as the sun interacts with them, or I don't know, just anything about it. I love the beauty of nature and I love the weather. I can watch the Weather Channel and really for a long time and be entertained by it. And if I come across a documentary on TV or a book in the library or something like that that has something to do with weather, I mean, count me in. I'm all in and I'll watch that. I've often said that if the Lord hadn't called me into full-time ministry, I would probably be a weather forecaster or work in some sort of, you know, meteorological occupation of some sort. I just love the weather. So a week like we've had leading up to today really excites me, actually. I mean, it's a little bit alarming. It's a little bit scary, but at the same time, it's fascinating to me. You know, my weather app that I look at, my go-to, at the first of the week, it started off with 6 to 12 inches of snow in our area. I mean, wow, that's a lot of snow. I mean, how exciting. How often do you have a foot of snow? And every day after that, it changed to gradually turn from a less of a snow event to more of an ice event, as we're seeing. And that's actually boring to me. But still, and it's also very dangerous compared to snow. But now that it's upon us, we see this storm doing its worst. You see the sleet, the ice, the snow, the wind taking place not only in our area, but, you know, all throughout the United States. And also after it, lingering temperatures, and it's expected there's going to be some power outages, and it's going to bring some harm to some people, some damage to property. And I think the impact of the system, we're going to be feeling it for the next week and beyond, not just with the power outages and the picking up of the mess, but also just the cold weather. So I just want to encourage you, by the way, please be careful out there and don't go outside and get on the roads unless they're clear, unless you absolutely have to. And even then, think again, just make sure that you stay safely at home. You know, they say this storm is going to impact about 240 million people, and it's going to stretch from Arizona all the way up to Maine. I mean, just this large swath of a massive impact. And that's really huge as storms go. Some say it's the biggest storm that the United States has experienced in some ways in the last dozen years. But as I've been keeping an eye on this storm building and the threat and the reality of this storm event happening this week, the Holy Spirit just reminded me of another event that's going to impact a whole lot more than 240 million people in America. This event is going to impact all 8 billion people worldwide. I want to read to you an interaction that Jesus had with the Pharisees that kind of talks about this. So if you will, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. This is verses 1 through 4. It says, "The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, 'When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today, it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.'" So another way to put it is you hear this like red skies at night, sailors delight. Red skies in the morning, sailors take warning. You've kind of heard that phrase before. This is kind of maybe where this came from and really what Jesus is talking about. Then he continues. He says, "You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you can't interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah." And then Jesus left them and went away. The sign of Jonah, by the way, is actually Jesus gave that sign because Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and then the whale spit him out. That's what happened with Jesus. He was in the tomb for 3 days and then he rose again. And that's the sign he was talking about. But then Jesus left them and went away. He never really had too much patience with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, didn't want to deal with them too much. And he didn't mind telling them very bluntly what he thought of them. Wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign. You know, you see this happen a lot. So when people wet their fingers and see which way the wind is blowing. And they do that in so many ways in life. I was talking to Kelly about this the other day. You see these advertisements about podcasts. And I mean, you got to tune into this podcast. You got to tune into this television show. You got to read this book. You got to buy this, this package of self-help stuff. I mean, everywhere you turn, someone is telling you how you can do better in your finances, how you can do better in your relationships, how you can do better in your careers, and all these self-help books and experts. So, quote unquote experts. And God bless them, and I'm thankful for them, and I don't mean to disparage them. And yet, you don't see too many people out there paying attention to the eternal things. Man, I'm going to get this self-help book to take care of my finances, my relationship, my career. I mean, that's all kind of contained in our life, but we're going to live beyond our life in an eternity somewhere. And this is really what Jesus was talking about to the Pharisees. I mean, you know what the weather's going to be like, but you really need to pay attention to the things that are eternal, because there's some things going on that are indications that we're not going to be around here very long. You know, and as the weather experts rightfully saw at the first of the week, the converging of this cold from the north and the moisture from the south, and it's, you know, meeting up, and gave the warning for the people to prepare, thankful for them. So too, we see all around us signs of the Lord's soon return that are all around us, as if we'll just open up our eyes and really pay attention. You know, there's pastors and there's preachers and there's end time Bible experts that are all sounding the alarm as they look up at the proverbial sky, and they're exclaiming with all of their might, "Get ready. The signs are converging. Jesus is coming." Just like we've heard all this week about the storm, and here it is now happening. The same is true in that Jesus is coming back, and he is giving us signs. The Bible is complete in its description of what's going to happen right before Jesus returns. And here's the thing, we're either going to be ready to our eternal benefit, or we're going to be unready to our eternal demise. It's the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life, because it's the decision that will last forever for your eternity. So what are some of the converging signs? I've said these before from the pulpit. Let me just remind you again of some of the converging signs that tells us that Jesus is coming very, very soon. Well, the super sign that the Bible end times experts and preachers and pastors say the supersite is the nation of Israel. It was reformed in May of 1948 after nearly 2,000 years of it not even existing. Just like the Bible said would happen, it would happen just before Jesus returns. So the clock is ticking. I mean, it just formed. We're 77 years and some change that took place. And if a generation is 70 to 80 years, I mean, could it be that we're in that window? I don't know, but I know that we're getting close. That's a super sign. The Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars. And you know that there's been more wars in this last century and more destruction and more deaths than all of the centuries added together from when that prophecy was given 2,000 years ago to today. There's been more famine and more pestilence increasing on a worldwide scale, like the Bible said would happen. Earthquakes and other natural disasters are increasing like never before, like the Bible said was going to happen. Technology is exploding and people are traveling to and fro, and knowledge is massively increasing, just like the Bible said would happen right before the return of the Lord. Persecution of Christians on the record-breaking rise, and they're being imprisoned, they're being tortured, they're being killed and martyred, just like the Bible said would happen just before the return of Christ. The list goes on and on and on. And I can go down that list, but just, I think you get the point. Every category that you can think of, all of them are exponentially increasing in volume and intensity. If this were a graph chart, you've seen those graph charts that you look at. If this were a graph chart, every category that you can mention and think of would be spiking straight up. I mean, typically a graph chart will go like this, but it's been going like that in the last, 10, 15, 20 years or more. It's just every sign. But you would think that this would get people's attention, just like this week. I mean, you've heard the drum being banged loudly. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. And then, the grocery stores, everyone's buying the milk and the propane and the bread and the non-perishable stuff and, all the things they're getting ready for. And so now it's upon us, so people know how to respond. The shelves are bare. See, they know how to respond to the momentary upcoming storms to get ourselves ready. We have the capacity in us to prepare. But when it comes to the Lord's soon return and our eternal preparations, there seems to be, really no alarm at all to the majority of humanity. Now people like us, maybe we're like, yeah, Pastor, I'm ready. And that's good. But I'm talking about, the world as a whole. People think that they have all the time in the world. Or people think that it's not going to happen. Or people think that they're living their lives that won't impact them. They scoff at those who do believe on top of that. It's like, it's just a bunch of, hocus pocus. That's just a bunch of old fables. You're a bunch of Jesus freaks, whatever. Peter actually describes this attitude in his letter that he wrote in 2 Peter. I want to read to you out of 2 Peter chapter 3. These words, starting in verse 3, he says, "Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They'll say, 'Where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.'" By the way, everything has not gone on as it always has. As I just said, things are spiking in every category. Let's continue. "But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. But these waters also, the world of that time, by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Well, that is so complete. I can't add to it other than just to say that, as Peter said, there's always going to be scoffers. And as we look around, we can see evil increasing everywhere. And people are going about their day like nothing is on the horizon. Nothing to see here, nothing to worry about. But I'll bang my drum as loud as I can today. A storm is coming. A storm is brewing that will make what we're going through today look like a pleasant day at the beach. As Peter writes again, I'll say it, as I just read, the heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. All I can say is yikes to that. No amount of bread or milk, no amount of propane can prepare us for that. There's only one essential. You know, you can run to the store to get all this stuff for the storm that we have, but there's only one essential that you're going to need to prepare for that day that Peter wrote about that I just read. And that one thing is the blood of Jesus. That's all you need. Place your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Place your faith in the finished work of Jesus that he performed at the cross on Calvary for the cleansing of and the forgiveness of your sins. And then walk in daily relationship with Jesus. I mean, Peter said, with this in mind, what must we do? Well, he says, live a holy and godly life as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Place your faith in Jesus. Live in a daily walk with him, in a daily relationship with him, and just live that life. As you see the signs, you'll have no fear as you live that life in Christ because you're ready. And when Jesus comes back, he'll take you to heaven to be with him forever. And that storm that I just read about in Peter that's going to be unleashed on this earth, it's not going to have any impact on you and me because you'll be safe with Jesus. We'll be safe in heaven with him. So yeah, go to the store and get your bread and your milk and stuff for the sorts of storms like what we're dealing with today. But you can't get the blood of Jesus at a grocery store. You know where you can go to get the blood of Jesus today? You can go to the throne of grace for that. And you don't have to wait for church or to go to some place, you know, some temple or anything like that. You can go to the throne of grace right there where you are. Right in front of you, right now. Just bow your head right now where you are and pray to Jesus and ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to be the Lord of your life. It's that simple. He's already made the provision for us. There's no fancy words that you need to speak to him. There's no special place you need to go. It's just a sincere and repentant heart that calls out to Jesus for rescue and salvation. Let me just end with this. There was a group of men in the Old Testament that is described in 1 Chronicles who looked around at what was going on and saw with spiritually discerning eyes the world around them. And they wisely lived their lives accordingly. They concluded and deducted and figured and said, wait a minute, we know what's going on here, and this is what we need to do in godly wisdom to live our lives accordingly. 1 Chronicles 12:32. They're the men from Issachar. Men who understood the times, it says, and knew what Israel should do. 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. Well, there's 200 of these men. Man, I would love to be one of those men, and I would love for you to be one of those people as well. To be aware, to look around, understand the times in which we're living, and know what you should do in response. Just like the storm implored us and the people telling us about it, and wisdom says we need to get ready, hunker down, get the stuff that we need so that if we run out, you know, if our power goes out or whatever, then we're ready to go. And, you know, just be prepared. Because we know the Lord's returning, what do we need to do in preparation for that? Well, here's some things. Here's some action items. Let me just give you three things here, and then I'll let you go. Write this down. First off, pursue Jesus. Let Jesus be number one in your life. Grow in your love relationship with him. Let him be the center of your heart. Let him be your main focus every day. Pursue Jesus. Two words, pursue Jesus. With your whole heart, pursue him. Here's the second thing. Stay ready. Don't get distracted. Don't slack off. Don't get discouraged. Don't be weary in well-doing. Stay diligent. Keep your oil in reserve. You know the parable that Jesus said of the 10 virgins. Five were ready and five weren't. Five had their oils in reserve. Five did not. Or in today's experience, keep your propane and your milk and your bread and your non-perishables. Just like you've got that ready to go right now. You've got to keep yourself ready because that trumpet can sound. And we're not going to get a 7-day notice. Storm's on the way. I mean, we're getting the signs of the times. We're seeing those things that are happening. So know that. That's your sign. That's your warning. That's your trumpet that's getting ready to, that's calling out to you to say, get ready, get your stuff ready, because the Bible says you don't know the day or the hour. So stay ready, because that trumpet could sound today, and in the twinkling of an eye, we're gone. So we pursue Jesus and we stay ready. Here's the third thing. Tell others. Tell others. Warn them. You know, I've been making some phone calls this week. Hey, are you ready? You doing good? You know, I'm texting people. Are you good? Stay. I mean, I'm warning them just in case. Just make sure you got your stuff ready. Same as it is when it comes to the return of the Lord. We need to tell others. We need to warn them. We need to take every opportunity to point them to Jesus, because there's hope in Jesus, and it's the best news that's out there. Salvation. And Jesus is coming back. The scoffers are going to scoff. There's nothing we can do about that. That we can't be responsible for that. That should not keep us from continually, consistently, passionately warning others and telling them Jesus is coming back. So pursue Jesus, stay ready, tell others. That's some good words for us. So let's pray together right now for that. And let this be a good example of what is a good reminder to us again, that Jesus is coming back. So we need to be ready. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you today. That you've given us access to the throne of grace, and that we're here because of you, and we can come to God through your finished work, Lord Jesus. Come boldly before the throne of grace and make our petitions known. First, Lord, I ask that if there's anyone that's listening to this that doesn't know you, that hasn't made a decision for you, that they would say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come live in my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I invite you into my heart. Your word says that if we pray that prayer and mean it, that, man, it's a miracle, but that our sins are washed away and that we're made new again and that we're restored back to right relationship with God the Father through the finished work of what you've done, Jesus, for us. So thank you. But the Lord, also I pray that you'd help us, all of us, to pursue you every day, to let you be number one, to grow in that relationship with you, to allow you to be the Lord of every area of our lives. And that we would stay ready, that we wouldn't get discouraged, that we wouldn't get distracted, that we wouldn't get pulled into things that are not important, but that we would keep the eternal things first and foremost in front of us, that we would keep our eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of our faith. And that, Lord, that in that passionate pursuit of you, that we would tell others that we wouldn't be shy or ashamed, but that we would take every opportunity to point people to Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that your return is soon and that you've given us the privilege to know you and to tell others about you. And we ask, Jesus, that you be with us now in this storm. Keep us safe and keep us well. And we love you and thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just say to you again, stay safe. Thank you for taking some time here to spend with me, with all of us together. And give me a thumbs up if you're doing good, if you enjoy the message. And I'm going to also leave you with a song here after I conclude this. There's a song that I'd like you to click on and listen to that speaks to this here today, that we'll wrap this up with. And hopefully we'll see you next Sunday, and we'll gather together in person, okay? Meantime, stay home, stay safe, stay warm, and know that you're loved. We love you very much, and we pray God's richest blessings on you. All right, God bless you, and we'll see you next Sunday. Bye-bye.